Good morning to everyone, everyone that's here, everyone that's online with us as well today. New Hope family, good morning. It is so good to gather together and to worship, and I'm glad that we have this time and that we have the freedom to be able to gather and celebrate our faith. That is a good day, regardless of whatever is happening in life around us. It's a good day. Hey, how many of you have gone to school? All right, good. It's a good show of hands. What about you? Have you gone to school yet? Maybe? Hey, my next question is, do you feel like you've forgotten more than you learned? I did. I feel like I have forgotten probably more than I have learned in all the years that I've gone to school. I can thankfully say, though, that for me, it took me, into my mid to late 30s to really figure out how to learn. And so when I went to seminary, I had learned how to learn. And so when I kept learning, I felt like I was really growing. And it's a shame it took me until my, mid-30s for that to happen. But it did. And I learned that we actually grow as we learn. Like, beyond just the idea that we're packing our head with information and we're trying to spit out a bunch of information to be able to do certain tasks or jobs, but we really do grow as we learn. And one of the moments that I really sort of, I guess, like when the dots connect? For me, one of the times the dots connected was, I'll never forget this, my wife, Leslie, she said to me, she said, I can tell that you have grown during your time of all this learning. And that meant a lot to me because I knew I had not really figured out how to learn. I was like the poster child for forgot more than you felt like you had learned, And so that was such a compliment to me that says, you know what? You have grown as you've learned. And I was like, ah. And that may be true, but today I want to take that idea, and when we talk about disciples, I want to flip it, right? So think of a coin. I want to take that coin, and I want to flip it around, and I want us to see that both sides of this coin are actually true. And here's what I mean. We grow as we learn. That's one side. But the other side of the coin is also that we grow as we sow, as we teach, as we pour into others. We actually grow, not just when we're trying to learn. Some might look at it and go, man, if you want to learn about God, this is where you need to be. If you want to grow in grace, grow in your faith, you need to be in here all the time. And I'm going to go, yes, this needs to be a steady part of your life's diet right here. It needs to be the Word of God because you can't replace it. But you're also going to grow as you sow into other people. You take what God teaches you from here and through your walk in life with Him, and you pour that into others. Now, I made you a promise last week, and I want to uphold my word today, which I said we would take the Apostle Paul and we would stick with him and talk about two topics that I just couldn't get away from. I thought I was done, right? And it was like God said, no, you got two of these things. These two things you need to talk about. So here we are. We're finishing it up today. As far as I know, we'll be done after today. And so here's my thought for us today on this idea that we grow as we sow into others. And so let's just go right to the Apostle Paul. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, if you have your Bible, you want to open up to Ephesians 4. There's actually going to be three different passages that we're going to just briefly read today. So if you want to, you can listen at home or follow along, get your Bible out, open it up, whatever you want to do, right? And so we're going to see that Paul is going to show us in Ephesians chapter 4 that we grow as we sow because it's actually part of God's design. It's part of the way that God has set it up to happen. The fact God uses His people to not just help others grow, but to help them as well grow. And I'm going to show you this. So in Ephesians chapter 4, If you flip over to verse 12, let me start reading there what Paul says. He's talking about the church, and he says that, you know, God uses his people to equip people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, it's not on the screen, but just jump down to verse 16. Same chapter. Some of the body, how it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The one side of the coin on this particular verse, I think that we have so often heard, which is true, is that when, let's say, for example, we use the gift of teaching and we teach others, we disciple others, that they grow, right? So they learn and they grow. But notice something that in this passage, Paul doesn't just refer to a one direction, right? A one-way growth as far as, well, then that person grows as this person uses their gift. The way Paul talks about this is that the whole body is growing when the body is using its gift. So therefore, the one who's actually, let's say, teaching, using their gifts to serve others and to pour God's love and truth into other people's lives is growing, as is the person who is being poured into. Until we all, right? So for each one of us, pouring in to everybody else, we then grow and we all are built up in love. So when you're pouring, when you're teaching, when you're discipling, you think, well, I'm just trying to help them grow up in Christ. Well, don't forget, God's growing you up. As you use your gift for the good of the body, God's growing you up in grace, just as he's growing the one up who's receiving that gift being used in their life to help them grow up. So both sides of the coin are true. We have to flip the coin. You know, it's kind of like the body, and I think this is why Paul uses the metaphor of the human body. If you've ever, let's say, who's broken their arm or their leg before? Just a show of hands. Have you ever broken your arm or your leg before? Have you ever broken your arm or your leg before at home or somewhere else? So when you do that, let's say you had to have a cast on there and you couldn't put any weight on it. You couldn't use it, right? So let's say if you broke your right arm and you're right-handed. Isn't that fun? You're like, how am I going to do anything now? And so what you have to do is you have to use your other hand. And so the more you start to use your left hand to lift and to push and to pull, to carry, to get yourself up off the floor, get yourself up out of the chair, whatever the case may be. And the more you keep doing that, what happens to that left arm's muscles? They get stronger, don't they? The more they keep pouring into helping the other arm to be lifted up, and the more itself becomes stronger. The body benefits from each other. All the parts grow healthier together. So we grow as we learn. So we want mentors and coaches that are pouring into our lives, but at the same time, we want to be pouring into others. We want to be discipling others. Disciple looks like a person who is growing as they're pouring into others. Pretty simple, right? Pretty simple, pretty easy. Absolutely. When the body sows, the body grows. It is God's design. Well, if that's not enough, can I give you another one? Right? So let me give you a second one. Here it is. We'll throw it up on the screen. This one comes from Paul again. So if you have your Bible, you're going to go to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. If you want to go there to verse 11. When we're here in Philippians, we know Paul is under house arrest at the time, so he doesn't have the freedom to like come and go wherever he wants, right? When he wants. So he's sort of there, and when he's writing to the Philippians, Paul's gone through a season of his life where he's been learning. I can be content in life wherever I'm at and whatever I'm going through, Right? He's talking, and we're going to see in a second. He says, you know, man, I can be in want, like I don't have and I need it. Or I can times where like, I know I have plenty and I'm good. And I can even take out of my abundance and I can bless others. You know, he knows what it's like to go through hard times and God to be faithful. I mean, it's just, his life has learned that this is what it is to be a person of faith in Christ. And so this is what he tells the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 11. And for me, the key is this. He says, I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. I look at Paul's testimony in Philippians. I go, okay. So this guy seems to understand from his own life experiences, in his own faith journey, that as I continue to make disciples for the cause of Christ, I will grow up in my faith. I will grow up in maturity of peace of mind in knowing that no matter what circumstance I stand in or I find myself walking through, God is with me. God is working. God is helping me to grow up. God is helping me to stand in a second, in a season, and to have a sense of peace that He's got it. Like He's got it. Paul could sit in prison and wonder, would this be the end? And yet still find himself being able to say, I have learned, I have grown to know that it's okay because this moment is not the end. Let me give you one more. Paul wrote to Timothy in his first letter, which for me is perhaps brings the whole thing together, maybe as brings the first two together. But here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I have verse 15 because that's kind of the key verse, but I actually want to read to you beginning at verse 12. So let me start there, okay? I'll just read those few verses. Here's what Paul writes to Timothy. He says to him, he instructs him, he says, I want you to set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. And then he goes on to say, verse 15, right? Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. So that everyone may see your progress. And I look at this, your advancement, right? So you're maturing, your growth, your progress. And I look at that and I see Paul trying to get Timothy to understand, look, my friend, I know that when people look at you, they don't culturally see somebody who displays an example of maturity because Timothy was a younger guy. And so in the culture, you didn't look at somebody who was younger and think that they were a wise, mature person. You looked at the gray hairs. I'm getting there more and more. And those were the ones who were at the city gates. Those were the wise leaders of the community. But Paul's telling Timothy, look, you are growing in the wisdom of Scriptures, in the wisdom of Christ, in what truly, deeply matters. And that's the truth of God. And so don't let anyone talk bad about you or make you feel bad because you're younger. You continue to preach and teach. You continue to inform conversations with the truth of the gospel in a way that is gentle and loving. You continue to go about and do the work that has you have been ordained by God to do. Paul had laid hands on Timothy, and there's the belief that the Holy Spirit had set Timothy apart to be an overseer for the people of God. And Paul says, don't turn away from this, because listen, the more you keep doing what you're called to do, discipleship's a calling, the more you're going to progress in your faith and maturity, and the more people will see that. And the scripture says, the more people will give glory to God the Father in heaven by the life that you witness to in the world, that you live out in the world. So yeah, people don't treat you the way you think you need to be treated. Yeah, they don't talk to you the way that you think they should talk to you. Yeah, they say stuff on social media that maybe you're going, really? They break your trust. They don't meet your expectation. They hurt your feelings. Hello, like that's life, right? Like that's the frustrations of just living in a broken world. Paul says, but look, the more you keep sowing what is good and right and holy into the lives of the people around you, the more that you are going to grow in Christ. It is well worth the effort to pick up your cross and carry it, and to count the cost for what it means to love even when you are not being loved the way you think you should be. Jesus was not being loved the way he should have been, but yet he picked up his cross, he counted the cost, he goes to the cross, he dies for the sins of the world so that we could know the Father's love and eternal life. We could become kingdom people. And he keeps doing in you, and he keeps doing in me, the same thing that he was doing in the people who were turning to Jesus Christ in the days of Paul and Timothy. He's continuing to grow us. Is it worth being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Yeah, why? Because it brings you joy, it brings you fulfillment, but it also grows you. I think that's one of the great reasons that it's so worth being a disciple, actively living like a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because not only do you get to help others, but you too are being helped. God's helping you grow in a way that you can't grow on your own. We call it grace, working in our lives. Now, I could tell you stories, and we could look at other stories of Scripture, but I thought it would be nice if we could hear this morning from one of our own. And I asked Miss Deb Courtney if she would come forward this morning and share a testimony of her experience of going through what we're talking about today, that, you know, you grow as you sow, right? Not just when we learn. And so let's welcome her as she comes to share this morning with us.
Thank you, Pastor Andy, for allowing me the opportunity to share. First of all, I just want to say that I'm very humbled to stand here before you. Sorry, I didn't think I'd cry now. Being a Christ follower is a journey. And I just want to say, don't judge the person that Pastor Andy asked to come up here and share with, because I don't get it right every day, and I don't have it all together all the time. You can just ask my husband. He's with me a lot. And I work with a lot of people in this room, so they're and have worked with people. They know me every day. I appreciated last week when Andy said, some days I just don't feel like discipling. The flesh is strong, and it is a process. I want to share a little bit with you about my Christian journey, because I think it's important that you know that I haven't always been where I am today spiritually. And I continue to grow as I continue to seek him and we did not talk. I was fortunate enough to be raised in the church, but I was raised in the church, and I knew the rules, I knew the expectations, I even knew some key Bible verses, but I wouldn't say that I really knew Christ. When I was in fourth grade in Sunday school, I chose to dedicate my life to Christ. When I was in high school, church provided a safe place for me, and it was my entertainment. And then I turned 18. And let's just say my life became independent of Christ and the church. I'd look for him and find him on the occasion that I needed him at my convenience. I made some bad choices and didn't do everything right. And then I turned 30, and I had my first child. And after the birth of my first son, I began to see the world through a different lens. For the first time, I understood what it meant to be a mama bear. Babies are gifts from God. And I held that little baby, and I just knew that I had this responsibility of this person to grow and to nurture. And so I returned to the church, and I began to seek Jesus again. Well, a year and a half later, I had my second son. He was born with health concerns, things that he still battles today. The first 14 years of his life was a crazy train back and forth to Indianapolis. The greatest lesson I learned there, and I had to learn it over and over, was that I was not in control. And if anybody knows me, I'm like a major control freak. Jeff's back there like. I had to learn to rely on the Lord. I look back now at that time and I think, how in the world would my family have stayed together if I didn't have that seed in my heart from that fourth grade Sunday school class? Jeff and I grew in our walk with the Lord because he was our only hope. The world didn't offer us anything. We grew as a couple. We leaned on each other. The truth is, Jeff carried me through, and it was the first time that I didn't take charge because I couldn't. You know, statistics show that couples with chronically ill children divorce, but our glue was the blood of Jesus Christ, and we recognize that today, and we give him all the glory. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention to you the love we received from our church at that time. Oh my gosh, we were blessed 1,000 times. And I can look out here at some of these people and just tell you how much, and people that are watching, we were just blessed over and over and over. When I came to realize I couldn't control or manage that situation, I learned to depend on the Lord. And I had a peace about a lot of things that during that time the world didn't understand. It's like, how can she be calm or peaceful about this? Well, it came from him. People would ask us, you know, how do you do this? How do you keep living life, working, taking care of your son, your other son? Well, we weren't doing it by ourselves. I was going to say I was half crazed most of the time then anyway. But like, I'm... Dina would tell you I'm half crazed now, so. People watched us and recognized that we had something different. And we gave God the glory then, and we still do. Well, through the years, I sought Christ more and more. And then I turned 50. The decade birthdays are not good for me. Let's just say it wasn't a pretty time for me. I woke up and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm 50 years old, and what have I done with these 50 years? And most likely, I'm not going to live 50 more. And what am I going to do with the time that I have left? And then I came across Psalm 25, and it literally changed my life. And it's 22 verses, so I won't read them all, but I hope that you'll take time to read it at some time this week. But I want to share a few things with you, and this is what I say in the mornings when I get up. O Lord, I give my life to you. I trust in you, my God. In verse 4, it says, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. Remember your unfailing love and your compassion. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. That's big. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right. For the honor of your name, O Lord, forgive my many, many sins. The Lord is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant. My eyes are always on the Lord. And then when you're down, turn to me and have mercy, for I am alone and in deep distress. My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all. Feel my pain and see my trouble. Forgive all my sins. Protect me. Rescue my life from them. Do not let me be disgraced, for in you I take refuge. May integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you. So at this point in my life, I really had a spiritual awakening, a healing, I'd like to say. And I began to study and read, and the more I read and studied, the more I desired to read and study. And I began to know Christ and love him like I never had. Christ revealed me through his word. We hear it from the pulpit. He just said it this morning. You got to read this book. It has to be a part of your life, like brushing your teeth. If you want to grow and learn and become closer to the Lord, you read this book and he will reveal himself to you. The word is our power tool. It literally has the answer to everything in life, good and bad. Every instruction. Discipleship is a scary word, but to me, it simply means relationships. And what I've learned through the years is that saving people is not my job. I think I was pretty arrogant in thinking that I had to save people. But investing my time in people, loving them, listening to them, and when you have a relationship with them, you can share the word with them, pray with them, and for them. The Holy Spirit is quite capable of changing their hearts. Through the years, my work as a nurse has provided me opportunities to love on, listen, and pray with coworkers and patients. Investing time in people is hard. Denying yourself, putting other people first when you have things to do, it's tough. And God bless my husband because he has often taken the back seat when I've put other people first. God has placed some very interesting people in my path to love on. And I'll just tell you, it's been a stretch for me sometimes. But what I've learned with these challenges is that people just need someone to love them. They need to know that someone even cares that they exist. And at those times, you can share the word. And when I pray for them to fill that void in their life, I pray for a spiritual healing and a spiritual wellness. Because when your spirit is well, other things work out. And that peace that Andy was speaking about earlier, it comes to you. And it cannot be explained because it comes from the Father. I also want to share with you that I've poured myself into people, invested a lot of time in people, and I was hurt. I felt like I was being taken advantage of. And again, I think that's arrogance. That's my flesh and just thinking about myself. But I also have a go-to scripture for that. And so I just have to pull this book out and look at Romans chapter 12. Verse 9, it says, don't pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. And love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. I love that sentence. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those that are happy and weep with those that weep. Live in harmony with each other and don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. So in conclusion, I want to say the same thing that Butch and Andy has talked about, joy. When I follow God's prompting, even when it's uncomfortable or it doesn't make sense, my heart is so full. It's just something I can't explain. Sometimes I'm even giddy or happy when I see or hear something good that's come from my obedience to God's call. You know the acronym for joy, and here it is up here. J is for Jesus. O is for others. Y is you, in that order. Don't let the word discipleship intimidate you. It does not require a degree in theology. Discipleship requires a desire to be obedient to the word of God, a heart that desires to serve and love in the way that Christ taught us, and a mind that will seek Christ every day. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. Well said. Well said. So, what do you do with this then? Let me offer you just quickly two things that you take with you. You can use them later today. You can use them tomorrow. Real easy. The first one is this. Connect with care. Connect with care. Pick one or two people that you would like in your life that you have some kind of interaction with, potentially. Pick one or two people that you would like to see be impacted in a wonderful, powerful way by God's love, and work at building a friendship, a connection, rapport with that person. Might be in your family, might be a schoolmate, might be a coworker, it may be a neighbor. But be intentional about not only praying for, but trying to connect with care with that particular person that you can treat with the fruit of the Spirit. Know what I mean? So you can treat with love and joy and peace. You can be patient and kind. You can do what is good. You can be faithful and gentle and use self-control, right? Folks that you can treat with the fruit of the Spirit. And keep in the back of your mind the old adage that I keep finding is true, that people tend to care about what you know when they know that you care about them. That you're not just trying to win them over to something that you think is right, but you actually just care about them as a person. Discipleship cares about the person, because Jesus cares about the person. That's why he went to the cross. He cares about the person. So connect with care. And the second one is this. Communicate carefully. Think about how you act. And think about, try to be aware of how you're feeling and what you're saying and how you're communicating what you're thinking and feeling in that moment. in a sense, communicate what you stand for more than what you stand against. Communicate what you stand for when you're trying to connect and build a relationship or you're interacting with others more than what you stand against. Hope, joy, love, peace, they attract more listeners than ugly, negative criticism. That's so true. It really is, you know. And so if that's the truth, think about the stuff that you post on social media. Think about what you're posting, right? So when you even are posting about the election this week, because November 3rd, right? So Tuesday is election day. You need to go vote, right? Use your civic duty as a citizen of the United States and go vote and participate. That's how you make your voice known, right? Go vote. Now, here's the thing. If your party or candidate does not win, how will you respond on social media and to other people? Or if your party or person wins, how will you respond on social media or in person to other people who do not agree with you? How will you respond? Communicate carefully with people that you want to connect with. But just in general, communicate carefully anyways, right? Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I have been learning is that hate does not draw people to Jesus. Hate does not draw people to Jesus. Now you think, are you going to chase a tangent here or something? No. I'm going to put a nice pretty bow on it at the end. So walk with me for a moment, okay? Hate does not draw people to Jesus. So if you expel hate for people or people group, then you're not influencing people to come to Jesus. You're actually repelling people from Jesus. But the church has been called to influence the world to come to know Jesus. That's a great commission, you know? Right? So hate, or if I hate a political party or a political candidate, if I use social media as a means to expel that hate for somebody or that party, I'm not influencing people to come to Christ. I'm actually repelling them away. Because my lifestyle and my attitude and my behavior and my demeanor and my character is pointing people away from the Savior of the world, the character of God, that the Scripture says is within me, the righteousness of Christ upon me, in me. Love draws people to Christ, not hate. What we say in person, what we might say on social media, man, that impacts other people. When we guard our tongue and we choose to speak words of faith, speak words of hope and God's restorative power and His love that overcomes hate, we point people to God. And when we do that, God grows us up in Christ. You cannot hate others and find yourself growing up in Christ. It is impossible because you cannot stand against God and grow up in grace. If you choose to rebel against God, you will not grow up in God. You will not grow up in grace. As you stand for Christ, you'll find that God grows you up in Christ. It is quite that simple. I thought with all the weight of the elections this week and so much polarization that is in the world and will be heightened, and the anxieties will be heightened this week, and people are going to be excited and some people are going to be really frustrated, you know? And so how will the church, in the midst of all of that anxiety, ups and downs, how will the church respond? What will the church sow into the culture of this week? What will we invest What will we speak into? How will we connect with care? How will we communicate carefully the message of Christ, the gospel, the good news that has changed our lives? I don't have an answer other than to say that's a choice we're all going to have to make this week. But that's a choice we make every day, isn't it? I mean, you think about it, every day we get up and we go out into the world, even with our families and things don't go right first thing in the morning when you get out of bed. You ever have those days where just you get up and you go, well, this is going to be a great day? Can't even get out of bed without falling on the floor. Hey, yeah, life is challenging. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is challenging, but from the moment we get up and we put our feet on the ground and we enter into the day, we are walking with Christ, we are serving Christ, we are part of the body of Christ, we have this great commission ahead of us, and God says, look, I want you to go out and help others to know that I love them. Oh, and by the way, as you go, I want you to know, I'm going to affirm in you that I love you, because I want you to know that deeper and deeper as you go through this day. And he is more than able to do that in our lives. You've heard Deb share that this morning. That's been her experience. That has been my experience. There are many here, part of New Hope family. That's been your experience. You know it to be true. So as we disciple others along the way who will make disciples of others, let's keep influencing with those truths. Lead with the hope and the joy and the love and the peace of God that's changing our lives as we serve Christ. And let's allow the Holy Spirit to do the work of conviction in the lives of the world. He can handle that. That's not our job. Our job is to speak the truth in love. Our job is to love the world out of our love for Christ. That kind of life, whew, I'm telling you, you grow. It's wonderful. It's so much fun. What do you think? Yeah. Amen. Like I said, yes, it sounds good. Let's do it, right? Absolutely. Well, talking about growing, it's a great day to share in communion as well. So we're gonna share in communion together this morning. I believe communion is one of the ways in which God grows us up in Christ as we participate. And so as we prepare our hearts to share the body and the blood of Jesus Christ here in communion, let us remember the words that Jesus spoke to the disciples during the Passover when he was with them. On a celebratory evening, truly, it was a Passover, but a night full of such rich meaning, full of such love. Jesus is with his disciples, and they're there, and he takes bread while they're at the table, and he takes the bread, and he says, take and eat, for this is my body, which is for you. And he breaks it, symbolic of his body that would be sacrificed for their well-being, for their salvation, for the forgiveness of their sins. And when supper was ended, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and praise. He blessed it. And he said, take and drink, for this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood shed for you. Eat this bread and drink this cup. And do it in remembrance of me. Let us remember the Lord who by his grace heals and restores, who gives hope and life to all who call on his name in faith. Let's share together. Father, as we take these elements into our bodies, we ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to grow us up in Christ. Not only give us strength, but give us wisdom. renew within us our hope and your peace, your love, your joy, that as we serve you and we sow into others, that you will keep growing us up, that we will more and more reflect the character of our Savior Jesus Christ, that as we serve him as our Lord, the world will be drawn to you, and they will hear your invitation inviting them to salvation, and that your kingdom will grow. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of the work you're doing in the world. In Jesus' name, we continue to worship and pray. Amen.